Boom. Who beat Notre Dame? We did.
Yeah, we did.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, we did. Or cat, as Jason wants to call it now.
Sudsy had a good idea. I think we should call it the podcast.
We'll see.
You
can put a poll. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Doesn't really make a difference.
Call it the Cat Bask Podcast. If you want to call it the DBJ has a speaking disorder, that's perfectly fine. Maybe I need to go see a speech language pathologist. Get some therapy.
Can I come with you?
I'll go down to the Duquesne Center and get some therapy.
All right.
The rapist. So, big game last night. It was good times until the near the end of the fourth quarter, whenever all the Irish fans had hope back in their heart, only to watch it dashed away by a late fourth quarter fumble by Jesus Christ.
Jimmy Clausen himself. If ND didn't have Golden Tate, they wouldn't be half the team they are.
Once they lose Golden Tate after this year, they're done.
Yeah, he seriously is going to, like, he makes up so much of what they do. Like, they just rely on it. They just, like, fall back. Everything's like, let's give the ball to Golden Tate and see what happens. Give the ball to Golden Tate and see what happens.
Tate this year is what Shady was the last couple of years.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, definitely. That's
what their bases are.
Their whole thing is they're just like, well, he'll fix whatever problem we have. And
until he leaves.
Didn't do enough last night. Like, only, I think he's a senior this year, so.
They'll be losing their receivers, their tight end, their quarterback, and their coach.
Yep. Charlie's going to go drown his sorrows in a Permantis.
Tell our listeners what your theory was about his pay. About the $7 versus $5 million.
Oh, I said, okay, what, you give Charlie $5 million in cheesesteaks or like hoagies, or you give him $7 million in cash. I think you'd take the $5 million cheesesteaks. Because, come on, you got the cheesesteaks. Once they give you the $5 million cheesesteaks, you got them. Just give him like a card. He goes in the Quiznos and he just cashes it out.
Like a $5 million Quiznos gift card.
Yep. $5 million Quiznos, yeah. Because they got that like ultimate cheesesteak.
Well, you know what that means, though. You can only go there like four times.
Yeah, every hoagie costs $642. You gotta put a lien on your house to get a sandwich in there. What do you mean people don't want to pay $14 for a meal at a fast food restaurant?
So yesterday it was a very, very good day. We got up a little bit earlier than usual for a night game. We went out to Dormont, got some Little Caesars for our tailgate.
Big hit. If you haven't had Little Caesars in a while, it's as good as you remember.
It's only $5.
It's only $5. I got four pizzas, two things of crazy bread. And dipping sauce for under $30. It was like $29. It was amazing.
So good.
It was amazing.
So the best thing was Alco all week was like, hey, we're not letting people in until 3. Don't show up, even though you know we oversold the lots.
Yep, like they always do.
So we stroll in around 1:45, and the gold lots, they're not letting anybody into. So people are just packing in and parking it on the road. They're like, forget it, I'm just going to wait here. So somehow Red 5 ends up being like the nicest attendance or the laziest, one or the other. And they just let us in.
Yeah.
So we have our spot up on the roof, you know, kind of closer to PNC Park facing the Clark building. So we go up there. There's two cars in the building, us and the jerks in front of us. And they took our spot and sprawled out.
They had like 457 seats. Like they had like 18 tables. Like they were having like some sort of banquet dinner or something.
So if you were on the Red 5 garage yesterday and you had a table with a blue tablecloth on it and we're in our spot, go F yourself. Where were you for Youngstown State?
SMID.
Where were you for Navy? Where were you for Syracuse? Where were you for all those other crummy games that we were there for bright and early, but no, you had to come because we're playing the Irish, you fair-weather douchebags.
It felt like there was going to be 100,000 Notre Dame fans because every Notre Dame fan was like 3 feet in front of us the entire time we were tailgating towards the end when it got dark. When it started getting dark, every Notre Dame fan came out. It was like a transport place like right in front of our
They cars. Had to be just around us just to mess with us. There's no other reason for it. It was ridiculous.
It was so crazy. Like I was so worried that when we got in the stadium it was gonna be all Notre Dame fans, but it really wasn't. Yeah.
Usually in our spot we get kind of like the two corner lots, us and our buddy Andy that park next to each other. That way, you know, we get a nice little spot. You can set up some pong. You can set up some cornhole. You know, have some fun.
Yeah, you have some time, man.
Yesterday it was just like packed in. There was nowhere to move. People were just there making a big mess. Usually the garage on the roof is like very clean and tidy. There's, you know, some stray cans.
Put your stuff in a garbage bag.
Yesterday, it seriously looked like a tornado.
What are you, an animal? Through. You an animal? Put your stuff in a garbage bag.
The worst was when we got back after the game. Apparently, like two cars down, the people stayed at the tailgate a little bit late and decided just to pile all their garbage onto somebody else's car. Just loaded it. So what did those people do? The reasonable thing. Just push it all on the ground and drive over it.
So I saw a girl wearing a Michael Floyd jersey who definitely weighed more than I do.
She weighed more than Michael Floyd does.
That was always funny. But yeah, I mean, like, I was really worried when we got into that it was going to be crazy, but it really wasn't. In the club, it was like, there was maybe like three Notre Dame fans around. There was two guys right in front of us that were Notre Dame fans, and there was like a couple guys over, and then there was like a brawl, and then that guy was gone.
Yeah, you know, what's funny was the brawl started because there was a guy wearing Michigan stuff, yeah, and he was fighting with the Notre Dame fans. So, reasonably, they kicked the Notre Dame fans
exactly
out.
But yeah, I mean, I'm...
In the stadium, though, they did not have a presence at all. It was weird. It was like, it looked like there was going to be legitimately 15,000 Notre Dame fans.
Like I said, we saw for every like three people in the club, there was like two Notre Dame fans for every three Pitt fans. It was amazing.
Not in the club, just
not
outside.
In the club. I mean, outside when we were tailgating, it was insane. We looked at it, there's got to be 25,000 Notre Dame fans here, but there wasn't.
And then we got inside, and they were nowhere.
There's nowhere. They were scattered. I mean, you know, it's. It's nice to see that people showed up. I mean, I wish they'd show up every week, but right.
That was what a real college game
Hinesville
felt
was
like.
Electric last night. It was on fire, man. Like, the student section was fantastic.
All the fans were standing up every third down on defense.
Every third down, making noise. Like, everything. It was so great. Like, we had everybody was chanting, like, go pit, first down. It was great. Like,
except for the guy behind us that was chanting it backwards. Da-da-da-da, first down. First down. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, go pit. You're like, no. It's the opposite.
Yeah. But I was excited, man. I was like, that was like the first time it really felt like we were playing legitimate
people concert. Weren't making noise when we were on offense, which is shocking because usually you get the fans that, you know, it's their first game of the season.
Yeah.
And it's like a big third down we're on offense. And like, yeah, get pumped up, make noise. No, stop doing that.
Like us on the website on a Friday. In the grand scheme of things, this game really meant very little in terms of what the end of our season is going to be, but it meant everything to just like the environment around the programs. Like, everybody, people who don't
change
know a
lot, perception.
People who don't know a lot about college football look and they go, man, you guys beat Notre Dame. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Notre Dame's crappy, but.
Even last night on TV, if you have somebody that's home on a Saturday night flipping around and they see Notre Dame's playing, they'll watch it.
They go, yeah, and then they look, they go, hey, I noticed that team's name. They're like Pitt, like everybody knows about Pitt. Everybody knows about Tony Dorsett. Everybody knows about Dan Marino. And like, it seems like we're finally starting to get that momentum.
Hell yeah, I know about Bill Stahl.
But. How great was that catch by Baldwin for a touchdown?
Dude, Baldwin had a couple great catches.
That was a Larry catch right there. He seriously is like a superstar now. He's been great the entire season. He's been kind of under the radar because everybody, when you look at our team, you focus on how great Deion Lewis has been. Absolutely. And he has been. But Baldwin has been there every game catching big catches. And it's really amazing that it's finally starting to come together. Like, you kind of understand what Wani was doing with this team. And it's starting to make sense because we can take teams like Notre Dame, push them around and break them, and the teams will fold if you push them hard enough. And Notre Dame folded on us in that third quarter. We started getting up, and I mean, that's what happens. Like, you can't.
Teams hate getting hit.
Teams can't handle all that pressure. Both lines pushing you around. That's what it works. I mean, it's like, I'm still not the world's biggest fan of pro style offense in college, but it's working.
When you have the talent to pull it off.
When you
have the talent to pull it off, you get a year like this. When you don't, you get a year like 2 years ago.
Yeah. When it doesn't work, yeah, and it seems like we're finally starting to establish the line of scrimmage very well on offense. Like, we're pushing the team around, you know. Stahl's getting tons of time to throw. Lewis is getting big gaping holes. I mean, look how great Ray Graham played last night as the backup.
That huge run that set up the touchdown.
He's a beast. Like, he seriously might be as good as Lewis, but we'll never know.
Shifty.
He's got, like, yeah, he can break tackles and turn it up a little better, but it doesn't matter because
in that long run. He juked the guy with the C stick, then spun with the X, and next thing you know, we're on the three.
Such a good play, yeah. Such a good play, and stuff like that is what makes this offense tick. Is those big running plays that are working, and then, you know, we can finally get in a position where we can make the easy throw.
And yesterday, Deion had the most quiet 150 yards I've ever seen a back get. Like, you're just looking at his stats, going, okay, not much. And then he busts out that 50 yard run. You look at the stats, like, how the hell does he have 127 yards already?
It's because he's efficient, man. Every run he gets the extra yards. He finds the hole and he just runs through it.
Always falling forward.
He's not a guy who ever stops turning his legs and stuff. Like, I was worried about that early in the season because look, he was getting tackled a little easy, but not now, man. He is a full-bore college football running back. He's not a guy you can take down. Once the sham of the Heisman comes out and they give it to Tebow with his ridiculously bad numbers,
I think it's Ingram.
Give it to one of those guys. But he should be invited to New York. He's had as good a season as anybody in the Big East. You can't look past what Deion Lewis has done for this team.
If it weren't for the quarterbacks at Cincy, he would definitely be Big East Player of the Year.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be Big East Player of the Year because you can't get to Claros. Claros has only played four games.
They can give to Pike still. I think one of they might get Ko Biggie's Player of the Year. I could see them pulling that crap going.
Like they always do.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, we're going to give it to them both. It's because it's not a system. They're just good players. They might be good players, but it's the Brian Kelly offense system that's working it.
But you can tell what Lewis brings to this offense in terms of just the way he can control the clock, and we can cut down on their possessions with them because we can run the football every down.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I noticed last night was like how hard we were hitting on defense. You know, make them pay for every single catch, every single run.
Yeah, they were getting some catches early in the first, but after we kept hitting them, they started dropping
it. Making them pay. And right now, best defensive player we have is Jared Holley. He's been a revelation at safety. I would still move him back to corner because he's so good. He's got such good ball skills. But, man, he has made our defense 10 times.
Next year, too, Tags will be back.
Yeah, Tags will be back. And then and 10 times, he's made our defense 10 times as good as it was when he wasn't playing.
The secondary is no longer a question mark.
No, it's not.
It's just a...
I thought AV played a pretty good game last night.
Then he got hurt.
I mean,
it's the shoulder injury he had from before. So they're going to see day by day what it is.
Chappelle was basically what you want out of him—a guy who's making tackles.
He was okay. Yeah. I didn't think he played that solid of a game.
I mean,
I'm still not the world's biggest.
Me neither. But you know, whatever.
And I would still like to see Jackson or
me
Reed.
Too.
Reed had that awful play on the kickoff that got returned for a touchdown when he just basically just swung his arm out of nowhere and didn't even really attempt to tackle Golden Tate.
You can't, yeah. Like I said during the game yesterday, like Golden Tate's all they have, and Jimmy Clausen was found out. He's an average quarterback.
He sucks.
He's an average quarterback when he gets pressure on him.
He sucks. Not even just with pressure on him. He flat out sucks.
You know, he's supposed to be this super quarterback prospect. I don't see it.
He's all part of the hype machine.
I really don't see it. Yeah, he's all hype.
You know what it was? He was 2 years older than everybody else in high school, so he was basically playing at a higher level.
Yeah, being 2 years older. Yeah, being 2 years older than everybody now doesn't help.
Yeah, when you're 19 playing against 16-year-olds, you're going to look better.
Exactly.
And then he comes to Notre Dame, the hype machine even kicks in. They're like, oh, but he didn't have that much last year, and as a true freshman, he played well. And then this year, they come in, and they started winning a few games, and it's like, oh, Jimmy Clausen this, Jimmy Clausen that, look at this, look at that. And next thing you know, last couple games against Navy, against Pitt, they start putting some guys on him, and he looks like garbage. Go pro.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy not having an NFL
career.
Look,
you can't be serious and make an argument that Jimmy Clausen is better than Bill Stahl. You cannot do it, because he's not. He's not better than Bill Stahl. He's not even in the same stratosphere as the top-level quarterbacks in the NCAA. It's BS, and it's all... Notre Dame is just, they're all they are, it's just a hype machine none of it's real.
It's Beto, Corso, and Holtz.
It's all,
about.
Yeah, it's all BS. It's all BS. They're not a real team. They're not as good as people want them to be.
Like, even the fans we saw yesterday in their gear, you know what I was telling Joan just, I said, hey, what was the average age of the Notre Dame fans
yesterday?
They're
all old guys.
Deceased.
They're all old guys, yeah. I mean, it's like, Notre Dame doesn't matter to anybody our age. They don't matter, because they haven't mattered. We don't remember this blowing away Notre Dame team. That Notre Dame is for people in their 60s and their 50s and stuff. That's still people that they still buy into that Notre Dame hype. We don't anymore.
They were just lucky they were like the first college program to get on national TV all the time. That's how people picked up on
it. Yeah, it's like...
And guess what? Nowadays, you can watch any team you want on TV.
Exactly.
You want to watch Boise State versus BYU, it will be on TV. You want to watch two MAC teams go at it, it will be on TV.
Like, seriously, like... What's going to happen is when we when they screw the Big East out of the Gator Bowl to get Notre Dame in there, and then Notre Dame goes in and lays an egg against a crappy team or something, they put them in.
When Oklahoma State rolls them by 30 points.
And everybody's going to go, oh, I don't understand. And then they're going to fire Charlie Weiss, and everybody's going to, like, the hype machine's going to get put behind whoever they hire, like
Brian Kelly. Les Miles.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, they don't understand, is you can't have anybody you want, Notre Dame. You have to come to people. People aren't coming to
you. They didn't get Urban Meyer.
Because they thought they had him. They thought they could just, you know...
They lollygagged around, and Florida's like, hey, here's a big bunch of money.
They thought they could just tell him to come, and he would come. He would jump over to him, and it's not happening anymore. And I'm very glad, like, last night we got to see, you know, in front of all those people who probably only go to one pick game a year, they'll remember this, and maybe that'll get them into another pick game later down the road when, right. You know, we're like number...
But probably
not. Probably not, like I said during the game. Those people that took our spot, they're not going to be there at Cincinnati.
No, they'll show up at Cincy 5 minutes before.
They'll show up at Cincy 5 minutes before, exactly. Because
then they'll complain about all the parking, how they can't get a beer even though they don't donate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I can't believe they didn't let the people in Gold Lot go in.
Those are
people that donate all the money.
Listen, that's the one thing. You want to complain about things, do not complain, you know, about fans not showing up for games if you're going to treat them like crap. Because there were people lined up to get in Gold Lot yesterday at like 2 o'clock. There was... The traffic was stuck. There was nowhere to go on the parkway. There was nowhere to go on 279. There was nowhere to get anywhere close to that stadium because everybody in green showed up early and had to go to Bettis's to hang out with that fat jerk off. And then they all come down, and then they're sitting there trying to get in the goal lot, and Alco has their crummy five little orange cones set up going, no, man, I'm in my 76-year-old retirement
those
job.
Are,
you're
those
not
are
coming
the,
in.
Those are people that make this, you know, but, that make this program run as the people in gold lot. They're the ones that pay the money to make this program
but,
run.
You know what, though? I'm glad they did what they did. They said, screw it. They just started unhinging stuff and started drinking in the while they're waiting. No, dude, that was the thing to do.
Exactly.
They just started pulling their grills out and started cooking on the road. You're not going to let us in? Fine. We're just going to make a mess and make your job hell.
Like I told Brian and Dave before the game, I was like, this game's for us. Like, all these people that sat through, you know, rain against Syracuse in 2005, you know, crappy games after crappy games. Watch us get beat. Watch us lose to Bowling Green. This is for us. This is for, like, this game, seriously, for people listening to this podcast, yesterday was for you.
If you're taking the time to download this podcast,
yesterday was for you.
You sat through some bad football.
You sat through it all. And, like, what you have to do now is just sit back and enjoy it. Like, this is as good as it's...
Let all these Fairweather fans come up and tell you, oh, I was a fan when Dorsett was here. I was a fan when Marino's here.
Were you
a fan when Nick Goings was here?
Yeah, exactly.
Who the hell is Nick Goings?
It's like... This sort of like community that we have of like real diehard Pitt fans.
We have a base of about 15,000 fans that are like hardcore. Be there
who are there every single game. You know, who's been there, who's woke up at 8 a.m. who's, you know, had their friend drag them out of their bed like I have. They'll go see,
break into their house,
break into a house,
and like, sleep with their girlfriend.
That's like, this is like, I felt so good yesterday. It felt like so satisfying that we finally got our moment. That we finally got this, like, the thing we've all been a part of. We finally got our moment.
Yep.
And the team. The team came out and played amazing football and took out a team that, I mean, in 2 weeks, I mean, not 2 weeks, like 4 weeks, but no, it's like 3 weeks when we play Cincinnati. But when we get to play Cincinnati, if we just get through West Virginia, everything's on the line there. That's de facto Big East title.
That actually, that West Virginia game doesn't
matter. You're right now. Yeah.
Because even if they beat us, the only thing that matters is that.
It's a tiebreaker.
Yeah. The way it is if we lose to West Virginia but beat Cincinnati, we're the Big East champions by default. The only bad thing is we would have to share the BCS money. We'd split it with Cincinnati since we'd be co-champions. However, if we beat both of them, we'd be outright.
West Virginia is going to have something to take from us. You know what I mean? Now, how good does that feel? We have something that West Virginia can take. Not like we took their national title.
But try to pay us back.
Try to pay us back. You know, bring your crappy hillbilly coach up and he'll... Aw, shucks his way
if,
in.
If this was a Dick Rod team
I'd
here, I'd be a little bit worried. I'm not worried with Stewart.
Bill Stewart is a goof. He's a goofy. He's Opie from the Andy Griffith Show. He's a goof. He's a goof who shouldn't have that job. I don't want to go so far as to call him a fraud, but he wouldn't have that job if the team they played in the BCS game would have
kicked. He's Foge.
He's a nice guy who was easy to hire after Dick Rod left.
And they won their bowl game.
It was an easy hire, and they didn't make the tough move. And guess what? It's biting them in the ass now. It's come back on us. I'm sorry if I...
No, you can say ass. Don't listen to this at work, ass.
it came back to bite them, and, you know, they're finding out that maybe that's not the right way to go is to make the easy hire. So, I think we have that. If we win that game and then we play against Cincinnati, I mean, it's like...
That's nothing. Jared Brown sucks.
He does.
Noel Devine sucks.
Those two, seriously, that program was propped on Pat White's back.
Steve Slayton.
Every bit of success they had was off his back and Steve Slayton's back. And Rodriguez's back from turning that program to nothing. They probably out-recruit us every single year, and they can't win. Because they have a dumb coach who can't do it. Like, he just seriously cannot do it. I'm actually starting to feel a little bit more at ease with Wanstead because it seems like he's learned from his mistakes.
Yep. It's weird. Like, the teams that we get blown out by, it seems we rarely... had that problem again. Like, Navy beat us at home. The next year, we just ran all over them. It was not a problem at all. West Virginia, the years before, they just took it to us. And then we came back the last 2 years and beat them.
We're progressing as a program, finally, after. I mean, it took a little longer than it should have, but we're finally progressing as a program. And then, I mean, the point we're at now is this is like, we are starting to become what the Big East needs us to become, is that team that can come out of conference and win a big game. And that's what we need for the next, you know, 10 years with this conference, is we need teams that can go out of conference, win big games. And then maybe people start respecting the Big East, and they can take their hats off or the Big Ten off and stop living in a fantasy world where the Big Ten's good. Because guess what? Big Ten's not as good as the Big East right now. It just flat out isn't. We don't have as many bad teams as they do.
Hey, man, didn't you read the headline today? Ohio State upsets Iowa.
Are we all supposed to pretend that Pryor's a good quarterback now too? Like, is that we're just gotta pretend? Like, is that, like I said, do we all sign this social contract? We just have to pretend that the Big Ten's good. Like that everybody's wrong. Like empirical evidence and watching it on field that that's not what that's not.
They were good 30 years ago, so obviously they're still good.
They get 100,000 people to games. Doesn't matter.
Fans win games.
Exactly.
Not players and coaches.
Exactly. Doesn't matter. You win football games on the field and live it in the real world and not live it in the past like they do in the Big Ten. It's real world now. It's 2009.
Yep.
And Cincy and Pitt could run through any Big Ten team easy.
Cincy and Pitt would finish 1-2 in the Big
exactly.
Ten. Exactly. Without problem.
We finished 1-2 because guess what? You know how easy those games in conference would be if we got to go play Northwestern? Like, oh my God, I'd love it. Or Illinois. Horrible, horrible. Listen,
you could take the top four teams in the Big Ten and make that Pitt and Cincy's OOC schedule.
And we win.
And they would both finish 4-5-0.
We could go to the Horseshoe and win right now. Easy. 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 Like, it wouldn't even be a problem. Like, we just push them around. With their inferior athletes they have on their defenses, somehow, like, once you get into the Big Ten, molasses starts to coat your body so you run slow. And then we just come out and push them around like we pushed around Notre Dame last night. Like, we pushed around Syracuse. You know, that's how... Like, we pushed around South Florida. That's what we do now. We push people around and win games and break teams. It's a completely new world.
They can't handle how physical we are. Like, no team in the Big East is as physical as we are. And you don't see that from any other programs.
You know me. I always make my cuts at your boy, Buddy Morse. But it's really, the effect is there now. You can tell.
I'm sorry. I would like you to repeat that for our listeners. Say it one more time.
I'd say that the effect that Buddy Morse has on the players is starting to be seen, that where we can...
Welcome to the fan club, Jason Jones. Welcome to the fan club. After 3 years of complaining about him, saying he's causing all these injuries and tiring the fans
out. You can tell.
Welcome to the sad
Tony
picture,
Wise.
Buddy Moore's picture.
Tony Wise. Tony Wise deserves a ton of credit for how good the offensive line is. Lucas Nix is a superstar at right tackle. Like, yeah. Him and Malecki are the two best. That's the best side of the line in the Big East.
The thing that I regret most in life is not having Malecki redshirt his freshman year instead of playing four snaps on the defensive line. Because if we could have... Think about this, man. Next year, our offensive line could be returning every single starter with the exception of Joe Thomas and Rob Hauser. And, you know, we still got
probably
some...
upgrade on...
We still got some depth, that, you know, at center, plus Lumpy will be ready to go at left guard.
It took forever, but we finally have a competent offensive line. Not even farther than a competent offensive line. I'd say we have one of the top 10 offensive lines in the country now.
Yeah. Our tackles are so good, man.
Pinkston's an NFL player. Pinkston's going to be like a...
I hope he sticks.
7-8 year NFL player.
You know, that hype machine starting on him. That, you know, how good he's been playing at left tackle.
I think Nix is going to be down the line. It's just the superstar lineman. He's going to be an easy NFL.
He's got the size. He's got the strength. He can move if he needs to.
He's got
all
like,
the tools.
He's nasty too. Like, he makes a lot of big blocks. Like, you watch some of those runs that Deion has. Just watch those two seal up on the outside, Malecki and
when they put Nate on that right side,
you can't. That's a hole. That's like an open hole because you got three guys who are just throwing bodies out of the way. And like I said about Notre Dame's defense, they couldn't stop Navy. How are they going to stop us? You know, we don't need any tricks, and we're not gonna complain about people getting cut blocked. You know, saying you know what I mean. It's like I'll tell you the truth. I think Charlie Weiss at this level as a coach is done. He's gonna have to go back and crawl on his hands and knees and be a coordinator in the NFL when he gets fired. And guess what? Couldn't happen to a more arrogant guy. You think you're better than everybody else? Why don't you go out and do the work to make yourself better than everybody else instead of just standing there in your stupid office chair, leaning back with your triple chin? He got beat because he will not adapt. He will not adapt. And guess what? 4 years ago when Wonstead lost to him, Wonstead found something out in that loss, and he changed. He's finally changed after so long.
Took a couple years for him to change.
3 years of mediocre football to change, but he finally changed, and that's why we can come to the next level. Guys, the hiring of Cignetti is the biggest thing that's happened in this program.
Cignetti by far has to be coordinator of the year.
30 years, he's the biggest thing that's happened in this program because he took a quarterback who was mediocre at best last year and has turned him into a serviceable All Big East level quarterback. And yeah. It was all him.
You ever seen the transformation of so many players? Think about this. Bill Stahl is playing fantastic. Like you said, all Big East level player. Nate Byam's getting the ball in so many different situations, whereas before he was still averaging about one catch a game, but nothing real big.
Yeah.
Now he's playing so much better. Doran Dickerson now, coming out of nowhere.
He's become a real linchpin in our offense. And look what has happened to Baldwin in this last 6 weeks. Like, has become, he's a superstar receiver now.
Absolutely.
Finally finding a way to get him the ball every time. And that's the key to Stahl's success on field, is finding Baldwin, because Baldwin stretches teams deep. and they can't handle it.
And Baldwin can give you the quarterback a little bit of inaccuracy because he can still adjust.
He can go up and get it. Yeah, exactly.
He can make that diving catch like he had to. He can jump out of the sky and just make the catch like he did yesterday on that big third down when he had to be at least a good 3-4 feet in the air when he got that ball. I've never seen anybody get that high. It was huge.
Cignetti has legitimately saved once. That's legacy and career as a coach. Because if we wouldn't have hired Cignetti, I just shudder to think where this offense.
We would have lost that UConn game for
sure. Exactly.
For sure.
Cignetti knows how to dial. He knows how to use this roster of players we have and dial it up. And guess what? Next year when Pat Bostic's having a superstar season, think about it. It's going to be because of Cignetti. Because Cignetti takes these guys and he molds them in. He molds them into something. It's pretty amazing.
Plus, Cignetti's going to have a full spring to be working with everybody. He'll know the roster even better. He'll know the recruits coming in because he's helping with these guys.
He'll start getting his
guys. He's going to know what they can and can't do, and he will modify the offense just like he's done all season long.
He's the biggest get for the like. To me, it's kind of like when we got him. It's sort of similar to when we hired Jamie Dixon at the basketball team. He can get us to the next level, and it's just going to be a matter of time before he starts seeing all his recruits roll in, and he starts. Because he's going to be a hot prospect, too. Because he can work under constraints. He can work in a pro style, which is very hard to do in college football. And he's found a way to maximize the potential.
Look at Cal. Look at how their offense went way down this year without him.
Exactly. And he's got to have some sort of responsibility for that. I'm very excited about this whole thing.
Yeah, so much better than Kavanaugh. So much better than what Mazzoni would have been.
Yeah. Because Sig legitimately cares. And he's trying. And he's doing his job. Not like...
Kavanaugh, he's not incompetent.
Who was sitting around sulking because he didn't get the head coaching job. You know what I mean?
He's begging for an NFL job every year.
Sig is the guy now for us. I mean, he's like, you know, he
knows the college game. He knows what works and what doesn't work. He knows what the trends are.
I hope we learn something whenever we have to do another hire. We learn something from the hiring of Sig. Right.
Get a guy that's been proven.
Find a guy who's been a successful coordinator in the game.
That can work your style.
Don't find one of your old friends that you knew in the NFL. Find a guy who wants that job.
Get a guy like him, too, that's young and wants that job back.
Because Sig is going to make a name for himself here.
Yeah.
He could be the head coach down the line.
In 2012, when Wonsett retires, he's probably going to be the front runner for the job if he's still here, if he hasn't gotten a good job somewhere
else. Even if he's gone, he might still be the front runner. You know what I mean? Bring him back. But it's very good. Everything's great. Everything is so rosy right now to be a Penn. But we're not gonna go to that.
Blue and gold glasses.
I got them on. I might even grow out a mustache, even though I can't really grow a mustache. But it'll be good.
Can I grow a mustache?
Yeah, it'd be disgusting.
You don't like my goatee and mustache? Oh, come on, it looks good. It comes in red.
You got gross face on it.
That's why I shave it off. No need to be doing that there. So, what are your thoughts coming up now for West Virginia?
I'd say we have to, on paper, we're 2 touchdown favorites. Probably, but it's not going to be that big of a game because it's a rivalry game.
I would probably say we're probably gonna be like more of a 1 touchdown favorite since it's on the road.
I just don't see what they can do that can bother us. Spread it out and run. Do it every down. You can't run the ball out of the spread on us. It doesn't work.
Yeah, our defensive line is going to seal it up, and Romeus now playing the run much better, as you were pointing out earlier when we were getting lunch. Romeus is now becoming a complete defensive end. It's not just
he needs another year in college, but he could be an NFL player. He just needs another year in college to maybe like just figure out more of those little tricks to be playing a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see the West Virginia game going is probably just going to be like same thing we had yesterday. Slog in the first half, pound on him, pound on him, pound on him. Then it breaks open and then we win.
Yep.
That's got to be. I mean. Preferably, he'd like us to score touchdowns early in the game. And I think that'll come with time. But we got to get teams into playing our game. You know, we got to drag a team in and then, you know, drag them into the corner and start beating on them. Because that's what we're going to do. Because we're going to beat you down and then you're going to quit. That's just what happens when you play us.
Well, the thing is, too, especially what we saw with Notre Dame, is we can slog it out like you were saying in that first. But the thing is, when we do that, our drives are going to last about 5-6 minutes, even if we don't score.
Yeah.
Your drives are going to last about 2 minutes. It's going to start getting you worried, and you're going to change it up a little bit, and that's where we start to sink our teeth in, you know, force that extra turnover when somebody's going for an extra yard or two they don't need, or when Jarrett Brown tries to sling a pass in there that he can't complete because he sucks.
It's going to be a real crazy atmosphere in Morgantown. They're going to be on fire like they were in 2007. But we're in their head.
I don't think it's going to be as rabid because
I think they're going to see us as being they see us having something they can take away.
That 2007 game when we beat them, that was remember they had a lot to play for, so there was a lot of their fans there. I think they're going to be super pumped because it's Pitt, but I don't think it's going to be at that same level as it was. Although that was weird that game, you could just feel that big nervous tension in that stadium. Like you know they're just doing that not to lose. Let's just walk right through it like we're supposed to. And
our team is a team with a ton of swagger right now. They know they can win games now. They know they can beat you. And that's a scary thing because they're not worried about losing anymore because they know they can come in and beat you.
Yep.
Win this big road game, and then they have their prize. Their prize is December 5th. That's our prize. Come out, win a Big East title.
Get that crappy trophy back.
Get that pool thing, whatever it is.
We break it every year, but that's because HB pulls on it too hard. He's not around anymore to break it. Maybe Mick Williams can break it this year.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't line up any better for the Big East. You're two teams that are legitimately good playing for the Big East title. And in a season like this, can you really look and say that we're any worse than any of the other big teams with one loss? I mean, we're not. No. We're as good as any team with one loss right now. As good.
Yeah, the only teams that can beat us are the teams that are undefeated minus Cincinnati.
I can only see like four teams beating us right now. TCU, Texas, Alabama, or Florida. Those are the only four teams in the nation I think could beat us. I think we're a better team than Georgia Tech. We're a better team.
Well, ACC as a whole.
We're a better team than Georgia Tech.
ACC is probably the worst.
That will not work against us if we were to play Georgia Tech. That would not work. That triple option will not work against us.
We know stop it. We stopped Paul Johnson, you know, 2 years ago when he did it.
It's called Lee Wiggling up this game. I was talking to Dave. Like the only thing, like when we play Notre Dame, I was like, the only thing I worry about is if Floyd catches the ball in the secondary and breaks tackles. But our secondary showed up last night. So I don't see where this big weakness is that we have.
It's all changed with Holly.
Our only weakness is we probably have trouble scoring points at times. But we win games.
If we keep it close, we can definitely do it. Get it coming back.
We will not lose another game like we lost at NC State game. Just will not happen because it already happened and we've learned from it. And that team's not gonna let that happen.
Right.
I'm very big fan of just the whole senior leadership on this team, the way people are stepping up and filling their roles. It's pretty amazing. And they now have the Pitt fans, like every Pitt fan behind them, because you know we beat.
Yeah, they said wear blue. That stadium was packed in blue last night, just everywhere.
Yeah,
the student section looked as one, looked incredible. Even the fans around the rest of the stadium just looked blue as could be.
So yeah, just enjoy it, man. This is for all of us.
I hope they do it again.
All the people listening to this podcast and reading our website, this is for us. This is our time now. Like the days of where people can make fun of Pitt and say like, oh, look at them, they're losing like five games a year. That might be done, and it feels so good to have something to care about when we go to these games.
Well, you guys only get 45,000 a game, but you win 10 games a year.
Yeah, who cares? Like you said, fans don't play the game, and we have people that care about Pitt legitimately in the crowd. You know what I mean? They're around. Everybody, you know, I mean, like everybody we saw yesterday, they legitimately care about Pitt. Everybody was wearing their Pitt stuff. I mean, you know, maybe this game turns people and gets this city behind them because we know this city loves to jump on bandwagons. Yep.
There's no bad that ever comes with beating Notre Dame. Uh-uh. None.
Because, and you get to shove it in their faces. The most arrogant school in the world. They get to shove it in their face.
Hey, they got to go repent in church today, so they're good now.
Okay.
Fans so. So arrogant, just like you were saying. It's like they walk around swagger like they've done something relevant recently.
I also like the sort of like you can't, you have to like we're supposed to like bow down to you because you came to our stadium. Like no, nobody cares. Are you cool, Notre Dame fans? Are you cool? Nobody cares. Nobody cares who you are. I don't give a crap that you like Notre Dame. Fantastic. I like Pitt. Let's have a big party. We'll dance around. Nobody cares. They don't hold seriously the people who know college football now. They don't hold anything anymore, and it's going to take a long if Kelly were to go there, it's going to take a long time for that school to start meaning what they think it means.
Charlie has really gotten that team devoid of talent. There's holes everywhere.
They fired Ty Willingham for the same winning percentage. They fired Bob Davey for the same amount of for the same record. Looks like somebody's going to be hitting the unemployment line with
a couple. Okay, man, he had that 10-year contract they gave him after
he'll get his $7 million off the boosters.
Is that what the buyout is?
Something like $7 million, $8 million. They said they already have like $5 million raised from for boosters.
Man, I love it.
I hope he stays there forever, and we can schedule. We've scheduled him for infinity, and he can.
We got him what, six more times coming up.
But yeah, the other thing, I will say this. I respect Notre Dame. In fact, they understand that Pitt Notre Dame is a traditional rivalry, and they have the guts to come here and play us.
Yep.
They didn't make us sign a weird deal because they understand what that game means to this region and this college football.
Right.
So again, hop on the bus with your white jerseys and bring them to Heinz Field. You know, bring your 150,000 Penn State fans that you
not to defend them, but Notre Dame's in just a little bit of a different situation being an independent where
they
have to find.
I mean, we all know to go into the Big Ten, you have to schedule 5 cupcakes to make sure you pad your stat, you pad your record, so that they make your stupid preseason ranking makes sense.
But also with Notre Dame, they have to stay in Western Pennsylvania to stay active with the recruiting base too, because if they didn't play us, you know, or Penn State. They imagine that if they didn't play us for like the last 5 years.
They would have
nothing. They wouldn't be getting the Darren Walls of the world.
Nope. Doesn't matter though. You went to Notre Dame. You lose Darren Walls. Little trivia fact. Maybe someone can help me out with this. You think about this at the tailgate. Find me a Notre Dame player that has a similar career to Gerald Hayes in the NFL. Friend brought up Justin Tuck. Let's throw Justin Tuck out. A player that's not like a superstar, because they can't beat our superstar.
Tuck's a little bit higher than Gerald Hayes.
I'm like a player similar to Gerald Hayes. Right. I get it. He's probably around this. But they can't beat our superstar. We have the best wide receiver in the nation with the
pick. Right.
But I'm thinking like a middling guy. Like a guy that's like
In the history, though. Marino is better than Montana minus the Super Bowls, just statistically speaking.
Tony D's greatest running back ever lived.
Tony D, much better than
greatest running back ever lived.
Jerome Bettis ain't got nothing on Tony D.
Yeah, nobody can touch it. Mark May, probably best left tackle ever played the game. Yeah.
Larry, no, they don't have a receiver close to Larry.
Not even close. Hugh Tim Green. Brown, maybe? Is Tim Brown their guy, like the closest they have?
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. It's over now, and guess what? They'll go cry with their green shirts on and their undersized Michael Floyd jerseys.
But it's hard to get into Notre Dame.
It is.
It's hard.
If only we could get into a college.
They have a rigorous academic course load.
Yeah. That's another thing. That's another thing I don't like. You couldn't get into Notre Dame. I didn't want to go to Notre Dame, so I don't want to live in Indiana.
Notre Dame sent me a letter thinking that I was going to come to their school. I don't think so.
Yep.
Threw that in the garbage. Well, folks, that's all for this week. Probably won't have one next week, you know, being on off for a little while and then on the road game, but we'll definitely be back for Cincinnati. Keep checking the website for articles.
Yeah, we'll have articles up and stuff, and maybe we'll do another podcast
post. You never know.
If I'm around, we got
basketball games coming up.
Yeah, whenever me and Dave are together, we'll definitely do a podcast for you guys.
We'll keep that thing going. We got to get that Drumline podcast up and running. We owe them one.
Yeah, we owe them one.
Yep.
Yeah, like over the next couple weeks, I'll do a couple more articles about the sham that the Heisman Trophy that they're going to hand to Tim Tebow this year.
You can let us know if you want it to be called the Podcat or the Podcast.
Take some
votes on that.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy these next couple weeks, everybody.
We're 9-1. Going to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tell everybody to kiss your
ass. Going to work tomorrow
ass.
And find the Subway Domer next to you and spin them in their face or punch them. Either way. Punch him or spit in there.
Just go up to him and say, hey, what was your favorite class at Notre Dame?
Boom.
Oh, you didn't go there? I went to Pitt and my team won.
My friend sent me the best text messages last night. He goes, somebody needs to call Kubiak because Deion Lewis can't lose. I thought it was fantastic.
I had no idea what you were talking about at first.
Parker Lewis. Kubiak is his friend.
Yeah.
On Parker Lewis.
Never watched
Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis's last name's Lewis, just like Parker Lewis. It's very funny.
I never watched that stuff.
Yeah, well, you don't know what comedy is.
I'm sorry. I know how to deliver it. I don't know how to take it. All right, folks, for Jason Jones, this is DPJ. We'll catch you back soon, and hail to Pitt.
Zip it up, zip it out.